Where's my drink? Thanks, Caleb, keeping me in line.
Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. My goodness. Hallelujah. I guess I was waiting for more folks to come through the door, but it is time for us to get started. Amen. So I want to say good morning and welcome to Only Believe Ministries right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Hallelujah. We do have some families out this morning for, we had someone who's grandfather passed away and just some different things like that. So we want to keep people up in prayer, and we just want you to settle into the day, and we are going to be thankful that God's with us. Amen. And we're going to be glad that the Lord has prepared this day for us. Amen. You know, the Bible says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Amen. And what that means is that every day of your life, you have an opportunity to be glad. Because every day in your life, you have an opportunity to see and to know that God had a hand in helping you get through that day. Amen? And I want you to know that every day in your life is an opportunity to see a miraculous outcome from the Lord. Amen? You know, if this is the day that the Lord has made, then you can be confident that he expects to fulfill something in this day for you. Amen? And that you were not meant to live this day on your own or by yourself or on your own power, but in unity with God working with us. Amen? So we're just going to worship and believe God for a great, great, great day today.
Amen. Stand your feet with us this morning.
Holy Spirit, take my hand now. Lead me out in the living water. You're the wellspring, you're stirring. You're the life for your sons and daughters. Eyes are open to the unseen, and my faith is arising within me. Bless the Lord now, sing it out loud. Come and give the Lord his glory. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, because your love keeps going deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, into your love. Eyes are open to the unseen, and my faith is arising within me. Bless the Lord now, sing it out loud. Lift your hands, give the Lord his glory. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, because your love keeps going deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love.
There is healing in the water of Jesus.
when I don't see it, even when I don't feel it, cause God is a way maker this morning.
Cause even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Cause even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop.
Feel it.
this morning. We just declare that you are our way maker. You are the miracle worker, Lord God, and we put our trust in you this morning. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Sing that again. Way maker, miracle work, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Way maker, miracle work, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Come on, some of you need to sing that in faith this morning.
Moved by the sound of his voice.
that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me.
Yeah. In the middle of the darkness, there is no moment you're alone. Your love can't be outdone. A love that you never withhold. And you were constant, always with me. In your presence I am whole. You never let go, never let go, never let go. You pull me in close, pull me in close, pull me in close. You never let go, never let go, never let go. You pull me in close, pull me in close, pull me in close. Shelter of your wings. me in close, pull me in close. You never let go, never let go, never let go. You pull me in close, pull me in close, pull me in close. You never let go, never let go, never let go. You pull me in close, pull me in close, pull me in close.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to take this moment. Linda's just going to play. Nobody's going to sing for you. I want you to lift your own voice to the God, because that darkest moment for some of us has been recent. And let's just take a moment by your voice to God's ears, and you thank Him for the times that He's been with you through it all. Do you understand that since you said Jesus, I believe you have never been alone, not one time. Hallelujah. Linda, you keep playing. We're just going to take.
It's amazing, because I just want to bring this to your attention, that sometimes when we have very difficult moments and life is tough, as Christians, sometimes we feel as though we're by ourselves. But I want you to know something. That's when the Lord has tucked down more than ever and has you gripped in His hand more than ever to make sure that you make it through that moment. Sometimes we think that when we can't feel Him, or when we have a really tough moment going on, we right. feel like, where's God? Like He's distant. He's not distant. At that time, He's holding you together so you make it through what you're transitioning through. Amen.
I remind myself of what He's brought me through to this point. In those moments that I'm having a bad moment. And then I look at myself, who's trying to be all pitiful.
Oh my.
Trying to act down and say that God, no, God's enough.
Amen.
And when I go back and I look at the time that He picked me up out of a place Amen. Where I had a gun to my head, God's enough.
Amen, amen.
When I didn't want to be alive and I'm here Amen. Today standing, Amen. God's enough.
Amen.
When I was so broken, I couldn't stand you, I couldn't stand me, I wouldn't talk to you, and you better not talk to me. Listen, I'm not playing.
Amen.
God was enough.
Amen, amen.
To bring me out of all the brokenness, all the bitterness, all Amen. The hate,
Amen.
All the confusion.
Yes.
All of it. God was good and gracious Amen. Enough
Amen.
To bring us out. And that's just, Amen. That was just the beginning.
Amen. That was just getting started.
That
Amen.
Isn't any part of the middle and the end, or in where we're at now. But that's Amen. Just to where He brought me to get me saved.
Mm-hmm.
If He can do that,
Amen.
Nothing is impossible.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing is impossible.
Amen. Amen.
And He is Amen. My God. Listen, if you don't understand that He is your God, you need to get back into a place with Him where you're spending time so that you understand. Listen, I know this is my husband beyond a shadow of a doubt. Why? because he lives in my house. He eats my food. He makes messes. I got clean his clothes. Amen?
Amen.
This is my husband.
Amen.
He knows me more intimately. I know him more intimately than any of you, than anybody else on the planet Earth. I know his good points, and I know his bad points.
If you're not many.
Bull. We ain't even going there. But both of them magnified by a big number. But this is my husband because I know him. I spend time with him.
Amen.
I know God is my father. I know him. I spend time with him.
Amen, amen.
He talks to me.
Amen.
He calls me his daughter.
That's important.
Listen, he corrects me.
Amen.
He loves me, and he wraps his grace and his peace and his mercy around me.
Amen, amen.
Amen, when I need it.
Amen, amen.
But he's not shy to give me a whooping when I need a whooping.
Amen, amen.
He's my father.
Can I pray to have him whip you a little more?
Listen, if that's going to bring me to where he wants me to be, yes. Listen,
No.
That's the hardest prayer to pray. God, show me what's wrong with me so that I can move further in you. Show me what you need to change in this person so that I can go where you need me to go.
Amen.
Listen, he'll show you.
Whew. Yes, he will.
And just,
you might not
you
like
know what?
It.
He doesn't show you to get you upset.
No.
To put you in a place where you feel discouraged or like a failure. He shows you because he loves you, and he says, I'm here with you. I'll help you clean this up.
So amazing,
we'll move
because
forward.
That's
Amen.
How he simply does it.
Amen.
If you can receive it that
yes.
way. The Bible says there's no condemnation
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. And when he reveals things, if you can just receive it that way, you can get through it. Amen. I tell you what, sometimes Regina will tell you that I don't hold on to wrong stuff long, do I?
No.
Once I figure
seconds,
out.
He's done. Honey, why did you do that? Oh, I'm sorry. And then he's done with it. And I'm like reeling in it still. Wait a minute. Come back here. We're not done with this conversation. No, I'm sorry. I'm leaving.
Amen.
No, I'm not.
Amen.
I'm not done.
I told her one time, I said, honey, you don't need me to feel my condemnation. You need me praying to bring the blessing of God in.
Yes,
as
I
soon
do.
As we get over this moment of something being wrong, you need
Praise
us to
quickly
move forward. Amen.
Amen. He's a good example of how to do that because ain't nothing bother him for more than 2 seconds. Not even. It's the truth. Amen. And I'm glad it's so.
Amen.
Because I'm one that'll hold on to my failure forever.
Yeah, there's no condemnation.
And he teaches me not to do that. Amen.
For those who are in Christ Jesus.
And I teach him that he ain't as strong as he thinks he is. I'm the strong one. I'm just joking, people. Anyway,
praise the name of the Lord.
Merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. I came. I don't know if you saw this, but we just finished over there. Jeannie was over there. It was mostly film. Jeannie, I'm going to give it to you because I was picking up stuff, and I started seeing centipedes and stuff run out of that stuff. And, you know, as soon as I see bugs,
I'm out. Amen.
But anyway, so we were covered in dust. Phil's covered in dust. I've got no makeup on. I've got my hat. Oh, no, I had makeup on. But I have my hat on backwards, and we're driving home exhausted. And I look at him. I said, honey, do I look 20? And, you know, the normal man response, And so I said, honey, do I look 20? And without looking, without moving, without, like, his eyes skipping a beat, yes. No, you didn't say yes. You just went.
Yep, absolutely.
I start laughing. I said, he didn't want no part of that question. He didn't want to look my way. He didn't want nothing. It was so funny.
I knew the answer to that question because it's true, baby. You do look 20 to me.
You did not say that. You did not look over. You just shook your head. You just shook your head. All married men have strong necks.
That's exactly right. We do. And you got to know how to use them, amen. And that was definitely a time to use
You did it. You did it well. Okay, so we've got some announcements, but I think the one that's definite is going to be the teens are going to be here on the third Sunday of the month at 5:30 right here at the church. Bring your teens out. Let them get fellowshipping with one another, talking with one another, sharing with one another, hearing the word of God in a way that will open up to them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And then you've got the men's breakfast, but you think that that's going to probably go to the wayside for this month for a memorial.
Tentatively, we're going to have a memorial dinner for Roger Hendrickson, and we're working out the details of that, which I will announce, and I hope to have firm by Thursday, definitely by Sunday, making sure that that weekend of the 20th, is it the 20th or 21st? 21st will be when we have that, and we'll have it right here around 1 o'clock just to celebrate him. So We'll do that. And then on April 2nd, I believe, coming up on a Thursday night, Mark Dunphy will be with us, and he's one of the first, he's a friend of the house and one of the first ministers who was giving us prophecies and words about moving into our new building, which is in process, and we're closer today than we've ever been, amen, to moving into that new place. But while we're waiting on that, there's still lots of work and stuff that we can do right here, amen? And there's still a lot of growth and things that we have to do right where we're at. And which reminds me that I have a friend to me and a friend to this church. Pastor Mike Blow's with us this morning. And I think what I'm going to do is just let him come and spend a few minutes speaking to you, amen, before I do anything that I'm going to do. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Grab your Bibles, turn with me so you can set this verse into your spirit to Luke chapter 14, verse 25. No, I'm sorry. I gave you the wrong verse. Luke 14, 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? I want to talk to you just for a minute about counting the cost. Every economy in this world is based off of the same thing. The economy for this country, the economy for a country in the Middle East, the economy in a country in the South, are all based off the same thing, the resources of the area that you're at, of the place that you're at. All those resources have been furnished by God. We got countries that are nothing but desert, a little oasis here and there, but yet that are the wealthiest they are in the world because they got oil beneath all that sand. And those people survive off of that. We survive off of the provision of God. Everybody does what he's provided for where you are. That includes the gifting that he has imparted to you, the abilities that he has built in you since you, at your creation. It's all God provided. All the resources that we live off of, that we survive off of, that we enjoy, are God provided. It's there is a cost in doing everything that we do. Now, Jesus said there was a cost in being a disciple. You're going to have to pay something if you're going to be a disciple. And you, because you're here today, I know you are willing to pay something that there are other people not willing to pay. Because there's somewhere else. You are paying a price so you can be here, to be here. You're giving up something else. You're giving up something of the world so you could be here this morning. Because there's a million other places you could be and a million other things you could be doing. But you've chosen to be here. I want you to see a flip side to this verse. So we all know that we have to give up things of the world so that we can have things of the kingdom. There are two worlds. They are vying for your time and your resources. Both of them. Well, I have learned something the hard way. Matter of fact, most everything I ever learned, I learned the hard way. I've got a doctorate from the School of Hard Knocks. You know, trial and failure. I know a lot of, had a lot of failures, learned a lot of hard lessons. But I've learned another one, and I want to share this just a little brief thing with you this morning because I want you to understand what it means about having a cost. Now, an expense for things in the kingdom often, most of the time, are not actually a cost to you. They're an investment. Did I pay something to be here today? If I had driven, which I normally do, this is the first time I didn't drive, rode an airplane, but normally it would cost me 10 hours drive time at best. If my wife rides with me, it would cost me 12 to 13. There's a cost. Pastor Phyllis asked me one time, she said, "Mike, I see you showing up more often. Are you getting anything out of this?" I said, "Do I look stupid? I drive 10 hours. Would I drive 10 hours if I wasn't getting anything?" There's a cost. You're paying a cost. The opposite of that is, now just to bring you up to date so you'll understand where I'm coming from, I do construction work. I own mostly residential. I have done some commercial, but mostly residential. I have built homes for people. I have worked on homes that cost over $500,000. Been a part of those construction projects and all. But I had, due to the housing downfall a few years ago, and not being able to keep a crew together and keep people, you know, have something for them to do and be able to provide for their families, I cut back and started doing smaller stuff. Well, recently I took on another large job that I thought I could handle pretty much by myself and just bring a little help in. And so, but when I got into it, it began to cost me from the other side. In other words, I was operating in a kingdom that I had taken from to get into the kingdom I want to be in. And now I had gone back to a place. I went from working 4 days a week. For almost 2 years, I worked 4 days a week. And I took every Friday and I prayed and fasted. I invested that into the kingdom. And I gained great from it. But then when I took on this job, I'm doing a master bedroom suite on a house, large addition, 30 by 30 bedroom. Big, yeah. Bigger than this room, you know. And I took it on and just was going to get a little help to help me through there. But then I had to go back to 5 days. And I paid a price. I paid a price. Whatever it takes to get you where you are right now, it'll cost you that to maintain it. And if you can't keep on paying the price you're paying, it's going to cost you. Because you're going to give up kingdom stuff to gain worldly stuff. It is better to take our resources. If you read the parable of the unjust manager, if you read that parable, the unjust steward, God said that we're supposed to use the worldly stuff to make kingdom, not the kingdom to produce worldly stuff. Don't give up what you've already paid, what you've already learned to surrender to God so that you can be where you are. It'll cost you too much. I can tell you these few things. I'm not as spiritually in tune as I once was. I don't get as many words of knowledge. I don't get as many unctions from the Holy Spirit. I don't think it's not that they're not coming. I just can't pick it up. What I was willing to give up before to gain those things, now I have surrendered that and I've lost them. You can't stay where you are if you're not willing to pay the price. But the next thing is, you can't go where God needs you unless you're willing to give up something else. And this is the word I have for you this morning. I don't believe God really wants you to change a lot that you've been doing. But I do think he wants more from you. And this is what he wants. Something you've been refusing to do. Every one of us here has got something that God has been telling us he wants us to do, and we've refused to do it. But God never gives you an instruction about a seed until he has a harvest in mind. If you'll think about the rich man who came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to enter into the kingdom of heaven?" And then Jesus told him, he said, "I've done it all since I was a kid." Jesus said, "You lack one thing. Go sell all you got, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven," right? Everybody remembers, knows what I'm talking about. I think I got a scripturally educated group. You know the story I'm talking about. Now I want you to think another. Now think about that young man who went away sad because he was wealthy. His worldly stuff kept him from gaining in the kingdom. Peter came to Jesus and said, "We've given up all to follow you." And what did Jesus say to him? "If you've given up houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and dads, you will, tell me, Pastor, you will do what? A hundredfold." When? Now and in the kingdom to come. He had 100 times more in store for that man that would not give up what he had. Whatever he owned, he could have multiplied it by 100-fold had he been willing to surrender it. I'm telling you, what God is asking you to do is going to produce more for you than you've ever expected. And I don't think I have to tell you what he asked you to do, because I believe everybody here knows it. And it's different for everybody. It's going to cost you something, but it's well worth it. Because it is never going to leave you. It's an investment in yourself for the kingdom. You're going to lay up treasures in heaven, and you're going to have it here now. Don't miss it.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I thought it would be nice to have Pastor Mike Blow just invest a few minutes in us. You know, I think it's interesting because I always like to see him come, but I'm going to have to get him to come at some other times, because when you see him, what it means for me is fasting. So while he's talking about investing in something, what he didn't share with you is the cost. One of the costs that he always gives is that he actually comes up here several times a year, and we will take Sunday through Wednesday, and we will be fasting and praying and believing God. Amen. Now, for me, that means that we change our schedule, means we pull away from the table and stop eating, and it means that we put hours into studying the Word and asking God to judge us and to help us and to just be a part of what he needs to do in us to help us be what we're supposed to be for the kingdom. Amen? Amen. And with that being said, I'm just going to step into what I have for you today. And remember, last week I was preaching about the Holy Spirit and the Lord working with us and being with us and helping us. And I think it fits right into what we're talking about, because you know what? Our God is in the now. The Holy Spirit wants to help us in every moment, in every situation, and every problem that we have in life. And I'm telling you that we learned last week that not only does the Lord want to help you and strengthen you, but God will actually intervene and give you what to say when you need to say it. In other words, what I want to talk to you about today is making sure that we are keeping our life open for God to be able to move on our behalf. I'm going to look at a scripture right here in the book of Romans chapter 14, and I'm going to read in verse 16. It says, "Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. So the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And what I want you to understand is that the kingdom of God is not just about these things that we deal with in life on a day-to-day basis. It's much more than that. The kingdom of God is letting our Father be involved in every aspect of our life. Because when we look at that word righteousness, that's not a religious term at all. It is right standing with God. In other words, that means in every issue you're going to have in life, there's a right side of that that you need to stand on with the Lord, if that makes it clear for you. In other words, there is a way that God has us living this life. And when we learn how to stand on the right side of something by faith, by the word of God, and we learn it God's way, then I'm telling you, not only do you have righteousness, but peace will come upon you. Amen? The Bible speaks of a peace that is beyond understanding. Well, let me tell you something. When you start allowing the Lord to rightly have his position of authority, and when you start letting God have his rightful place in your life as the priority of what you do, and you start setting your life around the kingdom of God, once you start doing that, there's a peace that will come upon you in every aspect of your life, even when things are going crazy, even when you got a lot of stuff going on. If your relationship is right with God, even in the midst of a battle, even in the midst of difficulty, there's just a peace you're going to have. Well, things look this way, but I know that God's bringing us through it. Well, it's hectic right now, but I know that the Lord is making a way for us. And there is a peace that can come upon us that even when our today is not perfect, we will know that it's still the day that the Lord has made. We will know that it's still the day that God will help us with, and we can have peace beyond understanding and not have to go up and down in life. And every time life brings something up, there should still be a comfort, a strength, and a peace that's upon us. Amen? And then that Bible says that righteousness, peace, and joy. And what I want you to know is that there should be times where you have joy and just have a sense of goodness about yourself. Amen? I'm telling you that when you are standing in the right position with God on the issues of life, not only will there be a peace, but there's going to be a joy. I tell you what, I know that there's been times where I tell you what, I'll have joy and peace no matter what's going on. And I certainly have those times where I see a miraculous outcome from God, and it just brings you to that point where you know that you know that God is with you in this journey. And I'm telling you that there are times where God will have something happen that will fill you with righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen? Joy is something that you should have that's not just an emotional thing. It's not just a happy moment. Joy is a resident comfort of knowing that God is with us. Amen? And knowing that all is going to be well, no matter what you got going on right now, there is a righteousness, peace, and joy that comes by the Holy Ghost working in your life. Amen? And I just want to use a story today in the Bible. Praise God. And I like to clarify something because I said I want to use a story today. But when I'm looking at the Bible and when I'm talking about something in the Bible, I'm giving you a historical, this is a historical documented event. So these are real people. These aren't made up people. This isn't a story like writing a movie storyline. This is a real actual life of a person and events that have happened that have God touching them. And so we're going to look today at Luke chapter 5. And I want to begin to read in verse 1 down through 10. And it says, "It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him," and this is Jesus, "to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret. and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. That means that the fishermen had already fished and they were done for the day. Amen. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. See, this is a perfect example, people, of how we today need to make sure we allow God to have his position in our life. I mean, these men fished all night. And they had boats, so this lets you know that they were fishermen as a profession, and they had been very successful on this lake in the past. And they went fishing at night because they were using that time to be efficient, because they felt like during we all do it as fishermen. If you know anything about fishermen, we're always reading this and reading that and the weather and all this other stuff to try to tell us when we should go fishing. So these men, by their experience, by their knowledge of their lake, and by their fishing experience, they had made what seemed to be the best decision. And they had fished all night, but at the end of the day, they caught nothing. And now all of a sudden, here comes Jesus, and first of all, he wants to use their boat for something other than fishing for fish, amen? He used their boat to have a platform to preach the gospel, amen? But when he was finished preaching the gospel, he looked at them and said, okay, now that you have let me use this for what I wanted to, now you go fishing and cast your nets out there. And I want you to know that the Lord asked him to cast his nets plural. And the man said to him, Simon Peter said, Lord, we toiled all night with fishing and we've caught nothing, but at your word, we will do it. Now, first of all, how many of us have tried to handle life by ourselves, handle our job by ourselves, handle relationships by ourselves, and still find ourselves lacking? I want to ask you a question. Are you willing right now to let the Lord have a deeper place in that position? See, because these men were at least smart enough to know that they had did everything they knew how to do out of their own experience, their own wisdom. They were fishermen as a profession, and they knew how to do it, and they had been successful before. Listen, they wouldn't own boats if they hadn't filled those nets up before. So they knew how to do it. But here we see that sometimes the best thing you can do is at the end of your wisdom and at the end of you thinking you know something, give room to the Lord. Amen. And these men gave room to the Lord. And I'm just going to read to you what happened when they got out of the way and let the Lord help them do what they were doing. It says that, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, Jesus said nets, plural. He let down a net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Now, what I want you to know right here is that thank God that Peter, first of all, was willing to let the Lord into his situation. And I also am thankful that he was willing to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to fish with your presence in my life. I'm going to do my life now with you being in charge. I'm going to do some things your way. I want you to know that, hey, I was even talking to Pastor Mike Blow, who's with us today, and he said something to me that on his building projects, him and some other men of faith that he works with, they will be working on a project, and they'll sometimes have a dream. And he said that he's learned that when he has a dream about a build he's working on, that even if they have their own plan, and even if they were going to do something totally different, if him or one of the other men of God say, hey, I had a dream about this, they scrap their idea and they go with what they did in the dream. It ends up being safer. It ends up working out more. And what I want you to know is that sometimes your best plan of attack is scrap what you're thinking and do it God's way. I want you to know something. Sometimes you need to take your life and you need to be evaluating it and you need to make sure that you take opportunities to see something's not going the way it should and make room for God to take control in that area. You know, I really like it here because these disciples were partially obedient. He said, let down your nets. They let down a net. But here's what I like about it. God is so loving and merciful that even though they didn't do it 100% his way, the very fact that they moved in his direction brought a supernatural outcome, didn't it? I mean, it produced something that was much bigger than they had even thought. The other thing I love here is that one thing that's always going to happen when you let the Lord have his way in your life is you're not just going to touch yourself, you're going to touch other people. Listen, I tell you what, if you love your family, the best thing you could ever do is make more room of the Lord in your life. If you love your family, and I know you do, the best thing you could ever do for them is build a deeper relationship with God. I tell you what, if you love your family, the best thing you could ever do is make sure that in your relationships, in your life, and for your family, you are always making room for the Lord, no matter how long you've tried to do it your own way. I mean, these people were experts at what they did. And I tell you what, sometimes you think you're an expert at your marriage, and thank God for having good, blessed marriages. But I tell you what, sometimes one of the best things you can do is say, Lord, what can I do? Help me make my marriage even better than what it is. Even though I'm successful, how could I love my spouse more? I tell you what, how can I train my children? I want to do right by my children. I want to raise them up in the Lord. What can I do? And make sure that you're asking the Lord, and even when you've done it your way for all this time, make sure you say, Lord, I've tried this, I've tried this, but at your word, I'm going to do it your way. I'll try it again. I'll do it again. I'll open up. I'll make a move. I'll do something that I have already, even if it's something I've already tried. Lord, at your word, I will do it. Amen? What I love about it is that here we see Simon Peter. It says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which he had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And these guys all became disciples of the Lord. Amen. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now, I want you to see something here. That even though these men followed the Lord but didn't do it perfectly, God didn't judge them. I want you to see that even though they let down a net instead of nets, and even though they used one boat instead of several boats with nets out there, even though that happened, we see that when the guy came and said, oh no, Lord, oh, I didn't do exactly what you told me to do. We see the Lord says, fear not. Yes. See, I want you to know something, that if you will just make room in your life to attempt to do things God's way, he's going to be merciful towards you. Amen. I want you to know something, that even if you give your best effort and you don't do it exactly the way God wanted you to do it, God is not looking to judge you, kill you, kick you out, or say no. He's looking to say, fear not. Come on. Because he knew he was starting something with these men. And he looked at them and said, fear not, because from this day forth, you will catch men. In other words, what he was telling him is, hey, we've started something today. We've started something that's different than your yesterday. Today you let me sit down and teach you some things, and you let me lead and direct you in what we did today. You didn't do it on your own. You didn't do it your own way. You didn't go fishing by yourself, so to speak. Today you let me direct the course of your life. And this is the day that I have made. And because I've made it, you've seen a difference in it. And now I don't want you to be afraid to make sure that from this day forward, you make room for me. You make sure that on a day-to-day basis, you're asking me how to help you go fishing, so to speak. You're asking me, when you go into that job, you're going to ask me, Lord, what can I do different in my job today? Amen. You're having an issue with your boss. You're going to say, Lord, before I let my boss get me all mad and upset, Lord, please show me what to pray, what to say, what to speak. God, show me how I can handle this day. If you're coming home from work and you and your spouse have been fighting the last week, you're going to make sure that before you get home, you say, oh, Lord, I've been handling this relationship on my own, but you gave me my spouse. Honey, sometimes you need to remember that this treasure was given to you by the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah, friend. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost on that. But I'm just telling you that sometimes we need to remember that those spouses are a blessing of the Lord. Amen. And instead of going home looking for another fight, why don't you say, Lord, tell me what I should do. And that spouse at home, hello, instead of sitting there with your hands folded saying, oh, no, it's about time for them to get home and we're going to have another go at it. Instead of saying that, say, Lord, how can I? Amen. Make sure that we let the Lord sit down in our boat. Amen. Hallelujah. Make sure that we let the Lord sit down in our boat or our life and make sure that he's truly in charge. Amen. And when we see things that are going different than God's way, let's make sure that we're people that says, Lord, I've tried this on my own. But now at your word, I look for your way of doing it. Amen? Because I tell you what, if you keep doing it by yourself, you're going to find yourself like these men. They found themselves with absolute nothing but an empty boat and wet nets and a lot of toil and hard work that they did on their own. Right now, you're trying to... I feel that. The Lord's telling me right now that there's been situations that up till now you've tried to handle on your own. And just because you're going to the court system or just because you're in a situation involving something, you've tried to handle it on your own. Some of you right now, the Lord's telling me, you guys have jobs, good jobs. But the problem is some of you have been using your own energy alone to do that thing. And the Lord's telling me in our relationships that we have good relationships. But to get them to the next level, let the Lord in our boat. Amen. Yes. Let the Lord in our boat. Amen. And be willing to make sure that you humble yourself. This is one of the greatest things that Simon Peter did. Three times in this story, we hear him humble himself. The first time was when he said, okay, Lord, even though we've toiled all night, we're going to go fishing on your way. Then, when he found himself not using the boat, not having listened to the Lord, he humbled himself and asked other people to come help him. Amen. But then he humbled himself a third time because he said, Lord, oh my goodness, we didn't do exactly what you said. You said nets to me and I used a net. And Lord, I just humbled myself again. And when he did that, it was more than enough for the Lord to say, fear not. From this day forward, I'm going to continue to build your life. Amen. Let the Lord build your life today. Amen. Woo! And let him be the one who helps us, praise God. Guess what I forgot? Ooh, we didn't do tithes and offerings, so we're not over. That's right, that's right. Hey, we didn't leave yet, so we didn't forget, amen? Praise God. I'm just going to go ahead. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're going to use our faith today, God. And Father, in the arena of tithes and offerings, Lord, I thank you that this is not just something that you expect us to teach on, but Father, the Bible says, out of the willingness of our hearts, because you stir us up in this area, that we give our tithes and offerings, Father. And Lord, right now, I just thank you, God, that as people use their faith and they release an offering and a tithe today, God, that whatever it is, Father, it is going to work in the kingdom of God. Father, that this is not a cost. This is an investment.
Yes.
Amen. And that they are investing in the kingdom and into the future and into their family and into you and into all that you will do for them, Father. And Lord, we just declare your goodness and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, bring your tithes and offerings to the front. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel like you're working, you never stop, you never stop working. You never stop.